Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is our great privilege and pleasure to be with you again tonight for our weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer meeting. It is Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020, and we are now a stone's throw away from the end of this year. What a year it has been. And although it has been a year of great pain, unimaginable loss, and unprecedented suffering for our generation, in spite of all that it has been in the negative, the Lord has still been right by our side. He has been a faithful, faithful God. And his mercy has endured forever. And so tonight, as we gather together in this, our final lesson for the year, the focus and theme of which has been "All I See is Victory," we want to encourage and admonish you that the journey continues and that what has been laid as a foundation is only the beginning. The foundational verses of our theme for this year has come out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. But before we go any further, we're going to bow our heads and seek God's blessings upon this lesson tonight. So much has happened. So many have gone through so much. And I definitely believe that God has something that he wants to share with us tonight. And my soul rejoices in anticipation for what the Holy Spirit has to say unto the church. So would you join me in a moment as we bow our heads and invoke the presence of God on our coming together. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we reverence your presence and we thank you for the unspeakable gift of your Son on our behalf. We come together during this time of reflection, this time of celebration, a time that is often accompanied by the gathering together of friends, families, and loved ones. But Lord, in spite of all of what's going on and the fact that we are still in the throes of the pandemic, despite the fact that a vaccine has been put together and received emergency approval to be released into the world community that has been affected by this pandemic. Lord, we know that people are still in isolation. There are still hundreds of thousands of people still sick, people coming down with this disease and testing positive. And the numbers seem to keep climbing. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You have kept our minds. You have kept our bodies. Yea, some may have been sick, but Lord, you have shown yourself to be a healer. Lord, most have suffered loss of some kind, but Lord, in spite of all of these things, we give you praise, we give you glory, we acknowledge your presence in our lives and how that we would have been consumed if it wasn't for you. Speak to us this night as we open our hearts to you, to hear your voice. And we pray, Lord God, that your anointing would even fall fresh through the lesson and even in the prayer to be followed. We honor you. We thank you. We bless your holy name. We consider this an opportunity to be enriched, empowered, enlightened by your Holy Spirit. And we take it not for granted. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you again and welcome to our final Pastoral Connect Bible study and prayer call for 2020. Our foundational scriptures that we will read into your hearing as we bring this series of teaching to a close is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 reads as follows: "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Whew. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 reads as follows. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. These foundational scriptures, one that speaks of victory in the days of old for King Jehoshaphat, the people of Jerusalem, as well as the words that were spoken by Apostle John that speak of our current state and ultimate destiny, covers us from the past, present, and future with victory that comes from God. Every God-begotten person conquers the world. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith in our Lord God himself. People who win over the world are people who have faith in God. I'm going to say that one more time. People that win the victory over the world system, its spirit, its antichrist spirit, its antinomian spirit, the idea of antinomianism is rooted in a misconception of the proper teaching of law and grace, where antinomianism suggests or teaches that a person who is saved by God's free grace, holy and without merit, is not obligated to live a holy life. So that people have the idea that once saved, always saved. There's nothing I can do to get me out of my salvation. But that's not true. That is not true. Romans chapter 6 tells us if we be buried with Christ, that we are to leave those things that are of this world. It talks to us and says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue any longer in sin? Victory is ours. The victory that overcomes the world is ours through our faith. And so tonight, the same faith that caused Jehoshaphat to follow the direction of God, to put singers in front of in front to be those that lead a battle. And you know the story from 2 Chronicles 20, how that God gave them the victory with singers out in front. The same God that was with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the same God that illuminated Apostle John to share with us the powerful revelation that our born again experience puts us in the victor's seat. Oh, glory to God. I'm not in the victim's seat. I'm in the victor's seat. For this is the victory that overcometh the world. Every child of God that walks in obedience has power to defeat the world, the pressures that come upon the believer, the pressures that try to make us give in, where we are pressed about to conform to this world. But the Holy Ghost in us gives us the power to resist the devil, and he must flee from us so that we don't have to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That is the key to the practical aspect of victory. It's not about quoting scriptures. It's not about singing, dancing, and shouting. Those physical gyrations and those physical expressions, they may have their place, but the devil knows how to dance too. Demons know how to speak in tongues. The Bible says to us out of the book of James that even the devil believes. He believes that there is a God. He believes and he trembles. But the challenge that James poses to the believer is this: wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so, my brothers and my sisters, let us journey through these last set of verses as we prepare ourselves to understand, to apply, and to build our faith in the aspect of practical, daily Christian victory. We have some individuals who are on the line, and they have consented to read passages of scripture because I'm not doing all the reading by myself. Bless your hearts. And so those of you that have access to the chat and you see that there are some verses that are yet without readers, I'm going to invite you to join in and share through the chat verses that you would like to read to help us out tonight. Your voice is very important, and I want to give space for you to share. Amen. I see people already responding. Praise the name of God. Thank you very much. I've got two people for the same verse. I'm gonna ask Sister Charisse, since she came in second, if she would be so kind to read the following verse. I just need someone for Colossians, Galatians, and Jude. And I will keep my eye on the chat to see the volunteers as we progress through the lesson tonight. We're going to start with Sister Tinley, and I'm going to ask that as we come to you, as I give indication, that you would unmute your phone so that you can be prepared to read this verse. We're going to begin tonight, the 24th verse in our list, coming from Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32. Sister Tinley, would you please take us further?
Praise the Lord. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Thank you, Sister Jenly. What's important for us to understand is that God has already established precedents to support his children. He has, from the foundation of the world, ordained that Christ would die, offer his life, and die as a substitutionary sacrifice. That he who is the Lamb of God would be also the same one who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God put together a plan to bring redemption to his children. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. His plan is so all-encompassing that, and his omniscience is so perfect that he knew we were going to have a need before the need arose. And with that kind of foresight and that kind of divine provision, the Apostle Paul has the audacity, the boldness, the confidence, unchecked declaration that if God be for us, who could be against us? God has established victory for his children even before the need arose. And I want you to understand this because Paul talks about this in the context of a set of events that God had put together. He talks to us about his foreknowledge. He knew before time. He talks to us about what he predestined. He put it in place before the need. Glory to God. He foreknew us, and then he predestinated. He set it and established it. So not only did he know, but he went to work. He established for us the process whereby we could be conformed to the image of his son, that Christ would be the first fruit, the firstborn among many brethren. He is the first fruits, not only from the dead, but he is the first fruit of the resurrection. Christ, the first fruit of them that slept. But not only did he take on our sin, God, through the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the sinful nature that needed to be broken, it wasn't sinful acts, it was a sin nature. It was the nature of sin that wore within our members. And so God put in motion this process because of his foreknowledge. And Paul says, whom he did predestinate, those that he had destined aforetime, predestined. He had ordered something before the need. He did it in advance. Then he began to execute the plan. The scripture says, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And so the call of God has gone out through the word to reach the lost and to bring the sinner to reconciliation and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And until blood was shed, we could not return to God. The Old Testament offerings provided an atonement. It provided a mechanism to cover sins, to allow for a level of relationship to be established and a communion with God. But because it did not deal with the nature of sin, those old covenant offerings were good to allow for connection, but it did not break the nature of sin. And so while the high priest and the priesthood was established to allow for God to be able to interact with his people, that mediation itself was also occupied by flawed individuals, not flawed on the outside, but who had the propensity to go into sin. For even the priests had to offer up blood for themselves first before they offered blood for the people. But what Christ has done for us is he has gone into the holy place, not made with hand, to offer his blood as a sign and a symbol of an everlasting covenant. And through this, he has made it possible for you and me to come unto God without guilt, without shame. And because of what God has done through Christ, he's called us into it. He's called us into this. And when we heed the call, when we accepted it and by faith repented, by faith was baptized in the water for the ceremonial washing away of sin and gone on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of power of God that brought justification. And what this process has done, it is so sure, it is so ironclad that God gave Paul a vision, not only of what happened before for us, not only what's happening now in us through the sanctification power of the Holy Ghost, but also what would ultimately happen for us. For he says, whom he justified, them he also glorified. Sister Tinley brings us to the verse. What shall we then say to these things? Clearly, God has been for us. And if God be for us, who can stand against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He delivered him so he could deliver us. The Son stood forth as God's acceptable offering once and for all for the sins of the world. And because he spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, the question is, well, won't he surely give us everything else? This is why we can be grateful and thank God for victory. Because if he gave Jesus for us to be delivered, do you think he's going to hold back on anything for us to stay free? Let's go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 15. Brother Paul, would you please read?
The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with slain stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls as the corners of the altar.
Now, what you have to understand is that God is a God of deliverance and power. There is no weakness in God. God is a God of power. He operates in power. He delivers by the power of his own hand. It is God that worketh in us. It is God that worketh through us. It is he alone, my God, it is he alone that stands forever to defend his children. And it does not matter what the opposition is. It does not matter what comes against God's children. The Lord of hosts defends us. Those that would come to try to overwhelm us, he will take action against. Glory to God. The enemies of the righteous are no match for the God of the righteous. The God of the angel armies is a conqueror, and no weapon formed against his children can ever, ever prosper. Our God is our defense. Enemies that rise up against us, they come in one way, they will flee seven ways. The angels of the Lord are encamped round about us who trust him. And so I encourage you, let us not be moved by fear, but let us be strong in faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are given spiritual defenses so that we are not vulnerable. We are not unprotected. We are not out there without divine covering. And I say this, and I say this solemnly, you need to stay under the blood of Jesus so that when judgment comes, it won't come on you. Because judgment is coming on the world. We are living in pre-rapture times, and judgment is coming on the world. Some would even say judgment is on the world right now. And you need to understand, as it was in the days of Egypt, when God delivered his children out of the hand of Pharaoh, that God, with a mighty outstretched hand, will deliver his children again. As a matter of fact, I don't want to get too ahead of myself because I'm going to get you to that verse. We're going to ask Sister Carla to unmute herself and share with us from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Sister Carla.
The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Now you have to understand, the devil is going to do his best to do his worst. The devil is going to do his best to do his worst. The enemies of the people of God, the idea from Proverbs here is that the enemy's horsemen represent conflict, challenge, oppression, obstacles, fear, defeat, insufficiency, lack. And so the enemy will come in like a flood. And what I love about this verse is that when the devil does, when the devil prepares for his worst, when the devil does his best to do his worst against us, is when God shines so bright that it's like a blinding sun. They who trust God will always be in victory because safety is of the Lord. Safety suggests that there is something to be protected from. Safety measures are put in place in many different industries, many different contexts. For example, in buildings, safety measures will include alarms as well as anti-fire systems, fire suppressant systems. In technology, there are systems that are set up and protocols for keeping information safe, passwords, various authentication levels, access being given through roles. In hospitals, safety measures are put in place by providing personal protective equipment for staff and also preparing safety measures for patients to ensure their safety. Well, the enemy has made weapons against us, and the omniscience of God has not left us defenseless. And so Proverbs is a braggadocious statement in Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Go ahead, prepare, enemy, prepare, Satan, do your best to prepare to do your worst, but those who trust in the Lord will be safe. My God, Sister Marbury, would you please share for us 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, or 7 through 10.
At least I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessaries, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong.
Thank you so much, Dr. Marbury. There are times in our walk with God that he will implement supernatural safety measures. The flesh is devilish, and the heart is desperately wicked. The scriptures ask the question, who can trust it? How many times have people put their trust in flesh only to share an unfortunately common experience of being let down and in some cases being devastated by the experience of broken trust? The experiences that bring pain to us are never pleasant, but there are times in our walk when God will allow things to happen to begin to reveal things to us. The Apostle Paul had received tremendous insight, tremendous revelation. You might say he was mightily used of God. And when flesh gets used mightily, there are times when flesh gets puffed up as well. And because you have to remember that we have the treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of God and not of us. You can be as anointed as an angel, but don't ever get it twisted. All the glory belongs to God. But because God knows the weakness of all flesh, and he knows each of us personally, there are times when the Lord will allow circumstances to come in our lives to keep us in a place of safety. Such was the case with Paul. Because of the tremendous amount of revelations that he had received, the Bible said that God had allowed this messenger of Satan to come into his life. Now, let's be careful here. Let us not think that the devil does stuff to help us in our walk with God. The enemy is going about to seek to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But there are times when the Lord will use the enemy for his good for us. And that's a bit of a paradox, how that the Lord would use the enemy for the good of us. Well, this text lets us to know Satan was given the right to buffet Paul, lest he should become exalted above measure. Sometimes, and this, you got to understand you and your relationship with God, because there's sometimes when you will get out of order and the Holy Ghost has to bring you into check. The scriptures talk about whom he loves, he will chasten, and every son he'll scourge. And so the scripture says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, because the way you respond to these things will determine your outcome. Because what the devil meant for bad, God meant that for good. So that even when the enemy tries to do his greatest damage, God is going to use that thing to get glory. Paul said, for this thing, for his deliverance, for his release from this thorn in the flesh. Some thought it had to do with an impediment in his walk, an impediment in his speech, an impediment in his vision. But there was something, some impediment, because it was not a spiritual thing. It was in his flesh. It was something that touched his body. Oh, God. It brought him to his knees. My God. It brought him to his knees. And when he got into his petitioning position, the scripture says he besought the Lord three times. He begged God three times that this would be taken from him. And the Lord's response to him is here. It has echoed through the halls of time. My grace is sufficient for thee. It is important for you to understand the power of God's grace. God's grace is powerful. His grace has brought us out of sin into salvation. The grace of God leadeth us to salvation. His grace sustains us in weak moments. As a matter of fact, we are encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so because God understands our needs, yet again has he provided something for us ahead of time. Oh God, it is his grace. His grace is strong enough. This is God's power to secure you in the most unsecure times. In the times when things seem like they're falling apart, God's grace is keeping you together. And what God says about this, which is very powerful, his grace is strength. His power shows up best in times when we are at our worst. Oh God, he's talking to somebody right now. You don't need to give up when it gets bad, because God's about to turn the grace on. He's about to reveal his grace in the midst of what you're dealing with. And this is why the sustainability of the Holy Spirit is such a reality, because God is able to make all grace abound to us. Whatever this grace, this virtue of God, this aspect of his nature, his divine enablement, his unmerited favor, oh, glory to God. He says it becomes perfected when we're at our worst. Now, this is not an invitation to get into your worst state. This is a revelation that even when you find yourself there, that you're not by yourself, that the Lord is right there with you. His grace is not far from any of us. With this in mind, and I'm going to say that again, with this in mind, this was in Paul's mind, it was in his heart. This was not just stuff written on a piece of paper. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his agony. He begged God. This was agonizing. It was problematic. It was a messenger of Satan. Satan don't play fair. Some would even say he don't play by the rules, but he has to follow God's rules. He can only go but so far. And because Paul understood who was in charge, somebody needs to say, I know who's in charge. You need to write that down in your notes. Paul's position was this: most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. He resolved that if God is going to give me grace in this, then I'm going to give him praise. I got it. Woo. He said, God, you're going to give me grace, and I'm going to give you praise. Is there anybody on this line right now that can declare that the grace of God is operating in your life? And if that is true, then you need to take the posture that Paul took. Most gladly, therefore, not passively, not lukewarm, enthusiastically, I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to give him an enthusiastic praise. Oh God, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody right now. You need to shake off that dry praise, shake off that dead praise, shake off that surface expression praise. Some folks can give a good show. Oh God, but it is the Holy Ghost in you that will shore you up, will strengthen you, and the power of Christ is resting upon you. Oh, God. Just when the devil thought he was going to have you in his trap, God's grace shows up so that insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties are no match for God's grace. How are you responding to the difficulty, understanding that God's grace is right here for you? How are you handling the insults and the persecution? Are you remembering that God's grace is right here? And wherever there is his grace, there is his power. And Paul says, I'm going to give him glory, like I'm about to lose my mind. I'm going to give him great glory. I'm going to glory. This speaks of exuberance. This is powerful. There's nothing weak about glory. And so the same kind of vivacious impartation of grace, the power of God manifesting in Paul's circumstance, Paul is saying, I'm going to take that same exuberance and ebullience, and I'm going to toss it back to God in a praise. The power of Christ resting on me is going to release a praise that's powerful unto God. Lord, have mercy. We got to get on here. Woo! He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You need to write down in your notes, God is up to something. Even when the devil is trying to mess with you, and he's trying to mess with all of us, that's his job. God is up to something. He's up to something. Sister Charisse, would you take us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, please?
Who delivered us from so great a debt and doubt deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us?
I don't know if that's, is that me, or did y'all hear her clearly? I don't know if it's me. Somebody put something in the chat. Okay. Who delivered us? Can you all hear me clearly? Put that in the chat, please. Can you hear me clearly? Okay. Thank you, Brother Paul. Who delivered us? Thank you, Sister Charisse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? That's the death of sin, in whom we trust. And it said, and doth deliver us. So he's doing something right now. He is delivering us in a world of sin, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us when he takes us out of the world and we are raptured. Glory to God. Oh, God. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I think that maybe I'm coming in Colossians, but I'm a little excited. Deliverance is something God has already done for us. He has delivered us. He is delivering right now. Because the enemy has not gotten tired of fighting us. And because the enemy has not gotten tired, God is saying, I'm right here with you. I've rescued you before. I'm rescuing you right now. I'm going to rescue you again. He keeps on. He rescues me. He rescues me. He rescues me. I am not left to be defeated. I'm not left in the dark. I'm not left in the hands of the enemy. I will not fear what even man shall do unto me, for great is the Lord my God. He giveth me victory. He did it before, who delivered us from so great a death. And he's doing it now, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. He did it before. He's doing it now. He'll do it again. He is the lifter. Lord, have mercy. Somebody needs to lift their head right now. The Holy Ghost is saying, lift up your head. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God strong and mighty. The Lord God mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Let's go on. Sister McCollum, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, please.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Every time you think about your deliverance, you owe God a praise. Every time, and this is why you need to think about your deliverance a lot, because he has delivered you from a lot. Oh, God, I wonder if I got a witness on this line right now. I know that we're striving for perfection, but is there anybody that can witness that he has already delivered you from a lot? He hath made us fit through the forgiveness of our sins, through the shed blood of Jesus, through the impartation, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He has made us fit to share in the things of the kingdom. He has made us fit to share in the things of the kingdom of God. We have an inheritance. We are partakers of the inheritance, y'all. When you are, when you have an inheritance, it means you are fit to share in whatever is in the inheritance. If your name is not on the will, you can be as close to that person as you want to be. If your name ain't on that will, you are not able to share it. You cannot share in the inheritance. Your name on the will qualifies you to share the inheritance. And because of what God has done for us, again, from the foundation of the world, your faith has put the plan of God in action so that you can experience what God has ordained. What are you not trusting God for right now? Because there's something you are not trusting him for that he's already ordained for you to have. He's already ordained for you to have it. You are an inheritor. Ho-ho. He hath delivered us. He hath delivered us from the power of dark. We were rescued from Satan's kingdom. And we have been translated. We've been moved from one state to another. When something is translated, it's changed from one state to another. Come on in here, somebody. Ooh, God. We have been moved from one state to another, from a state of sin to sonship, from defeated to delivered, from lost to found, from weakness to power. Oh, God, the blessings of God's kingdom are as real as the curse and the bondage that was in Satan's kingdom. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. The curse was very real. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We lived under a curse. There was a curse. The curse cometh not without a cause. We lived under a curse. But Christ has redeemed us from this curse. He paid the price. He paid everything for us to be made free. And the connection link is in redemption. It is our redemption rights. Our freedom was bought by blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. For almost all things by the law are purged with blood. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The sin stays. But when blood is shed, the blood takes away. The beautiful thing about the blood of Jesus is that it's not a covering for sin. It removes, it washes away sin. What can wash away my sin? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing power of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Understand the power of your redemption, my brothers and sisters. Your redemption gives you rights. Rights that are inalienable. They cannot be taken away. They cannot be usurped. You can live having relinquished your rights. You can live and accept life beneath your privileges. But Christ has died to give you life. I preached a message on Sunday that spoke about the challenge with the people of Israel and Elisha out of 1 Kings chapter 18, meet me at the altar. And during that message, I shared without much exposition that the condition of Israel then was very similar to the condition of many in the church today. They were halt between two opinions. They became idolatrous. They were compromised. And they did not even realize that the Lord was no longer there. The Laodicean church, out of the book of Revelation, was a church that was going about its business. It was going through the motion. They thought they were rich and increased and that they didn't have a need for anything. And the Bible says that they were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. They were lukewarm. They were The Laodiceans was a church that had a form, but had no fire. They were faithful. They had works. The faithful witness had to write to them because they had lost their faithfulness. The true witness had to write to them, to the shepherd of that church, the angel, the angelos of that church, because they were false witnesses by their lifestyle. They were faithless, they were unfaithful, and they were untrue. They had a form, but they had no fire. They said out of their mouths, their attitude, we are rich, increase with goods, we don't need anything. And my concern as a watchman is that none of you ever let your spirit get to that point, but that you cherish your redemption and you keep your love affair with God hot. Elisha entreated the Lord for the people in obedience and with a clean heart. And the scripture says that the Lord answered by fire. The challenge out of the Word of God speaks to us concerning our approach. It says, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in this holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. That talks about lying. Scripture says he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Let's go on to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Sister Michelle.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Thank you, my sister. Christ has made you free. Stay free. Live free. Take a stand. And don't put the harness or the chains of slavery back on yourself. Ritualistic living. External demonstration. We're living in a day where there's rich pomp and circumstance. But what's needed is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Your victory is not in your garments. Your victory is in the Holy Spirit. Your victory is not in your possessions. Your victory is in the Holy Ghost. Your victory is not in your money. Your victory is in the Holy Spirit. Now, thanks be unto God. It's God. It's God and God alone that giveth us the victory. This is not something that you can manufacture. This is not something that you can craft. This is not something that you can put together. Your intelligence cannot give you victory because Satan is smarter than you. You may not want to hear it, but you ain't that smart. The devil is a master psychologist. He's a master psychiatrist. There's not much, there's nothing that you know that he don't already know. And he even knows God's plans for you as it relates to what's articulated in scripture. He doesn't read minds. He don't know stuff like that. But he knows what the word says. Do you? He knows that the promises of God are yea and amen. Do you? He knows that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Do you? Oh, God. I love y'all tonight. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. We're going to go to the last verse. We have traversed this topic throughout this entire year.
Amen.
The now Holy Spirit. Yes,
go ahead. Is able to keep.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead, please. Uh-oh. I don't hear anything. Can y'all hear me? Somebody say something to me. Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, thank you. Sister Tinley, would you be so kind to please read that again? Now, I'm not hearing Sister Tinley. Anybody else hearing her? Huh? You can put it in the chat. Nobody's hearing her. All right, dear. Can I get a volunteer? I'm gonna let this be somebody else's reading. I don't see her being muted. Okay, I'm gonna give this up to somebody else. Somebody take it. Sister Tinley is, oh, I see her back. Come on, Sister Tinley. This is yours, dear.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you just got to be a little patient because people are growing and people are moving and the enemy is fighting. And sometimes you got to be patient in the presence of God. That was a little object lesson for us just a little while ago, to just be a little patient because it's coming. And somebody needs to hear this word. That was a word of encouragement for somebody. You just need to be a little patient because it's coming. What God promised you, it's coming. What God said to you in his word, it's coming. And I don't know who needs to hear that, but I'm glad that that happened the way it did, because these are the final words. These are the words that sum it up. These are the words that brings this to a rousing crescendo and causes us to begin to dance. My God, I feel a dance on the line. I feel a dance in your room. I feel a dance in your space right now, because after all is said and done, these words are used as a form of benedictoral prayer. It's the end, it's the sum, it's the conclusion. And the Apostle Jude, he says, and his book is a short book, only 25 verses. It ain't got much in it, but it's got a, well, it's a little book, but it's got a lot of power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Jude says, now, he's not talking about later. He's not talking about what's coming. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What I love about this is that it's personal. It's personal. He's able to keep you from falling. You need to personalize this. You need to take that you out and put your name in there. Now unto him that is able to keep Horace from falling and present Horace faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is going to present me to himself happy. He's going to be happy about presenting me to himself because I'm holding on to him. I'm holding on to him with everything I've got. I'm holding on to him with every piece of word that's in my spirit. I'm holding on to him with every sermon that I've ever heard, every lesson that I've ever been taught, every song of power and anointing that I've ever heard sung. I'm holding on to him with every lesson that I have prepared to teach, every sermon that I have prayerfully put together to share, every time I lifted up my voice with the saints of God to sing his praises. Now unto him, it's party time. It's party time. Don't you tell me that the saints don't know how to party. Don't you tell me that the redeemed don't know how to dance. Even if you look goofy when you dance, you need to do your dance. Hey, Gotaya, now unto him that is able to keep us safe. He has saved me. He keeps me safe. I am forever safe. Mm-hmm. Presented faultless. That's victory, y'all. He's going to present me in victory. I'm not going to slip, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not going to fall away, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am not in my flesh perfect, but in God's hand, he sees me as a finished product. Oh, God, help me. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but when I'm in his hands, I am kept, and there is nothing that can pluck me out of his hands. He preserves me, and by his grace, I'm going to be presented sinless and perfect. Oh, God. He is perfecting me now. Holiness is being perfected by my obedience in the fear of God. This victory isn't cheap. This victory is not for the weak. This victory is for those that will stand by faith. Because after having done to stand, all to stand, you got to stand. Even if your knees are weak, you got to stand. And the posture of standing speaks of the posture of faith. We must not lose our faith. Can we take it right back to the beginning? The foundation verse, the verse that we shared with you out of the New Testament concerning John's bold declaration. Every child of God overcomes the systems of this world. You have conquering power that the world can't do nothing about. It's a light that shines in darkness, and the darkness can't put it out. Shine on, my brother. Shine on, my sister. Shine on, young person. Shine on. You are a city that's set upon a hill. You ain't there to show off you. You're there to show off God. Wherever God allows you to go with your gift and your anointing, your gift makes room for you, brings you before great people, but for the glory of God to shine. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Beloved, tonight, let us make a joyful noise. Let us lift up a mighty praise. Let us open our hearts to God in recommitment, in rededication. Let us bring this year, as it's swiftly approaching an end, 9 more days left to it. But let us meet every one of those next days with a praise that will shake the heavens. Lift up your head, Zion. Put on your strength, Zion. Take up your weapons, Zion. The Holy Ghost is calling you to step into what's been ordained for you. You have a right to victory through the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. I need some. We're going to open up our hearts to God in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, you loved us. You brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. He that alone dwelleth in a light that no man can approach unto, the light of your glory, the light of your holiness, the brilliance of your presence. Hey, God, a glimpse of it was shown through Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, a brilliant light that shined. It was the kind of light that knocked Saul of Tarsus off of his animal to the ground. The brilliance of the glory of your presence. Oh, God, the light that shineth and darkness can't put it out. Thank you that that light is in us by the Holy Spirit. You have given us the anointing to be salt and light in the world. And God, no matter what we are going through. We give you praise for the victory. We thank you, oh God, that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, through battles, oh God, through attacks, oh God, through whatever the enemy will throw our way, through life, through death, through destitution, Lord God, times when we may not have enough, sometimes when we don't have anything at all, and times, Lord God, when we don't know how we're going to make ends meet, we are grateful that you are right there, and there is nothing that the devil can do. Hesha, there's nothing that this world can do, even if the world turns its back on us. Oh God, where you say in your word that we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I thank you that you have embraced us with your anointing, and we embrace you back with our praise. I thank you that you have lifted us out of the kingdom of darkness, and you have graciously placed us into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you that Jesus Christ stands for us as the model of victory. We follow after his example. He is the first line for us. He is the one that gave his life for us. He is the first fruits of those that slept. He got up from the grave for us. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was sent back to us in his name. And we are emboldened by the fact that signs will follow them that believe in your, in his name. In his name, we'll cast out devils. In his name, we'll speak with new tongues. In his name, we'll take up serpents and we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In his name, if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. We thank you that even in the midst of this pandemic and in the midst of this pain and loss, in the midst of it all, you're still in charge. And if God be for us, who can be against us? In spite of it all, you're still on the throne. In spite of it all, you still have the last say. You alone are sovereign. You alone are glorious. You alone are mighty. You alone are perfect. Hallelujah. And tonight I pray for every person on this line right now, Lord God, that they will begin to see you clearer through the word that was shared this night. Lord God, some on this line have even recently experienced the loss of loved ones. Lord God, we lift them up before you now. Lord God, we lift up the brothers and sisters in Christ. We lift up our brothers and sisters who are going through. Lord God, we know that there are times in this walk of victory that we will be brought to our knees in prayer. But Lord God, when we are brought to our knees in prayer, we thank you that you raise us up with your affirmation that your grace is sufficient. We are risen by your grace. We are emboldened by your grace. We are given wisdom by your grace. We are given revelation by your grace. Oh God, no wonder the writer wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." I thank you, Lord. We once were bound, lost, but now we're found. 'Twas blind, but now we see. I thank you, Lord, that we are no longer in a state of being destitute, being left alone, because we have a Father who has brought us into salvation. We have adoption rights. We have been adopted by you through the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that our names are written on the will. I thank you that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost belongs to us. Our names are written in the book. And right now, Lord God, no matter what the rest of this year has in store for us, we know that you are with us. I thank you, Lord. And even tonight, I pray right now, Lord God, that some fire begins to fall. I pray right now tonight, Lord God, that the fire of your anointing begin to fall. I pray right now, Lord God, as you have dealt with our hearts, even on Sunday concerning the text, and so tonight you dealt with us concerning the Laodicean state of the church. Lord God, in these last and evil days, Lord God, as we hear the cry of what your spirit is saying to us, to be rapture ready, let him, let her that hath an ear, let us hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And perhaps there's somebody that's listening tonight, Lord, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Lord God, perhaps there's somebody tonight, Lord, that's listening that has not repented of their sins. Lord God, perhaps there's someone listening tonight that has not been baptized in Jesus' name, have not received the precious gift of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. Perhaps they have not had those wonderful experiences that so many of us share that are on this line. But tonight, Lord, we bring this prayer to a close by focusing on that soul, focusing on that man, focusing on that woman, focusing on that young person. And tonight, as the body of Christ, as the village of the redeemed, we pray for deliverance right now. This victory that you have given us, we band ourselves together, and we come against the powers of darkness, the seducing spirit. We come against the spirit of deception. We pray tonight for those whose name is being shared with us, Lord. We pray for Anthony Chase right now, who had to be taken to the hospital. We pray right now, Lord God, for someone that's on this line whose life is at the brink of disaster. But we are grateful that you can redeem us from destruction. So many of us on this line can testify that you brought us out from the miry clay. You delivered us from destruction. And what you've done for others, you'll do the same for others now. And so tonight, God, we pray for those that are lost in sin that don't know you, for those, Lord God, who are bound in ways of sin and can't be free by their own ingenuity or their own creativity. Lord God, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Lord God, let the fire of your presence fall. Lord God, let fire fall upon them. Let faith come alive in their hearts. Let them have heard this word and rise in faith. Let them ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Give them a hunger, Lord God. Give them an insatiable thirst, Lord God, that can only be quenched by your presence, the presence of the Lord, wherein there's fullness of joy. And so tonight, Lord God, some of us, Lord God, are standing and we're not sure how we're going to make it, but we thank you tonight that all doubt has been removed because your word is true. You are able to keep us from falling. You said, if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord God, if there's anybody on this line right now that needs their sins forgiven, Lord, I offer this prayer on their behalf, but Lord God, I need you to touch them, to open their mouth to you right now. For Christ has suffered and he has died, the just for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, the one who was pure for us that were defiled. But I thank you, Lord, that he has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and that through his sufferings, we have been brought to you. Thank you for this impeccable plan of salvation, so that even after we are saved, your power of deliverance still is on us. The residue of deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The residue of righteousness. Oh God, I thank you that you abide on the inside. You said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that even they shall abide under the shadow of you, the Almighty God. And so tonight, Lord God, for young people, we're praying. For those, Lord God, that have been wounded, we're praying. We're praying for women right now, Lord God, under pressure. We're praying for men right now, being tempted on every side. But thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You gave us this word tonight, and we've shared it with these your people. And now we utter these words, as Jude spoke it so many hundreds of years ago. I speak it over your people right now. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Oh God, we bless your names. I need you all to unmute yourselves for a moment and let us fill this line with praise. Unmute yourselves for a moment. Let us fill this line with the sound of Zion. Unmute yourselves for a moment. Let us fill this line with Zion's voice. Oh, voice of Zion, the praise of the righteous. Oh, fill this line with the praise. Tonight, we thank you. We thank you for your manifestation. We thank you for your confirmation. We thank you that your word is established and that your word shall come to pass. For every person and every home and every house that's represented, for every individual, for every person that joins in corporate agreement, as we stand in line with your word, touching and agreeing, hey, we believe you tonight that you are yet our God, the God that causes us, that always causes us to triumph. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. The recording has come to a close, but the best is yet to come. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name.